Hello, welcome to the Eldritch Dice Podcast. I'm Rob. At the table tonight we have...
Derek.
Jonessa.
Dave.
Steven.
Kimberly.
And Jill.
And you.
Yay!
Thank you for joining us.
I was actually kind of hoping for
all the dice put away.
Yeah, the dice have been put away.
I have one dice.
For your Friday night. What is that? The Mystery Night Theater? Not that one where it's like where it's deep and low and slow.
Oh, so you can
join us. pull up a chair next to the fire and we should tell a story.
Today we're not at a table. We're in rocking chairs around a fireplace in an old tavern.
You know, my feet are actually kind of...
regaling each other with tales
my of... knees. My feet are warm. My knees are a little chilly. A fire would be really nice, actually. So
I'm going to just add wood creaking sounds.
You are the editor.
We're not playing and rolling
and
today.
The clicking of knitting needles, because, you know.
Because the story's done.
Other
than whatever we might come up with today. Yeah, this is the last.
This is the last
canonical episode, right?
Yeah. Anything, you know? And, oh boy, we're gonna have to be careful how we call. Like, this is what I think, and then here's what's actually canon, maybe. But
the last
it's
detail,
all canon.
Of the,
none of it makes sense.
The last detail of the adventure or the story that they teach in public schools of Althara was last episode. Everything that happens now is not in the
history
books. It's not written.
It's apocryphal.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
regale us with your fan fiction on the Discord.
Yeah. It's open.
Yeah. Even with this being the end, the Discord will stay open.
Yeah, we will. Well, because new people will find us and they'll listen to us and they'll be like, I just found this new thing.
Yeah,
and then realize it's over.
It's like, that was 4 years ago, man.
Move on.
You might be like, you may be left, listener, with a feeling of like, you kind of ended it in a like, but what happened to everybody else? And what even happened to Qua? Because I kind of like, everybody got left on Elthara, and Qua went into like crazy apotheosis mode, and like
started a new planet
or something. And I said, that's it.
You know, I listened because I mixed it down for Dave to edit, and I listened to that, and I was like, that is cool. And that's without Dave adding his magic that he adds.
I think it was perfect the way it ended. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, oh, well, I mean,
I'm
we
not
know
happy.
That there
You're
were
never happy.
Two people
never happy.
That were, one was an adopted by a god, and the other one was an actual descendant of a god. And they both kind of moved into that position at the end of the story.
Yeah.
You were
you think
adopted
about it,
by
like,
a god?
Yeah, Elthara, adopt her.
Oh, yes.
Adopted her, basically.
Yeah, she's going to be the new Elthara.
You wonder why.
This place is going to be called Qua.
It's Qua.
Oh, no, it's
going
to be on fire.
That's something that is a little vague at the end of this last episode is, you know, Qua's got this World Tree seed and it is filling her with power and she doesn't know what to do with it. And a character shows up. It was Elthara. And the idea is that Kimberly is going to step into that role and Elthara is going to move on to the next cosmic thing, whatever she does,
because I freed her.
See, and I'm so not happy because I never made it to 20th level where I could be a cat all the time.
I know you skipped it entirely. You're level 40.
Yeah.
No. And now you can never be a cat.
Nivara is the only one that reached level 20, and she did that on a solo quest.
Yeah, you can be a cat planet now.
I could be.
So here's the thing in my head. You know, again, like canon is who knows what's canon, but. In my head, I was like, you know, maybe what if, like, what would it be like with an earth goddess who was cat lady? And I was like, you know what?
Not just a cat lady, but a crazy cat lady. Like, that puts things
like,
on fire.
Throat,
and yeah, slit your throat when no one's looking.
But, I was like, I had the idea of, like, you know, in a world where the earth goddess was kind of some cat woman thing, she, like, makes a clan of... like werecats or cat or tabaxi like her. No, but like werecat where werecats fit is like maybe she goes and rounds up like people who are orphaned or outcast and like they say, you know what? Life is hard enough without a family. We're your family now.
Mm.
Like and so like if you like you kinda if like the werecats just kinda go around and find the downtrodden and initiate them and you know,
it's a weird cat
adopt
cult.
Them. Yeah, I mean it would
but
be.
But it sounds like such a quaff thing
to do. It would be like a faction, and it'd be like, you know what, this duke is getting too uppity, like, where cats bring him down. He's causing too many
problems. The cats!
Thunder cats, go! Where cats?
Yeah.
Where the wolf?
I think you're picking up my vibe. Yeah.
Sorry.
But that was just what I was like, oh, nice. Maybe. Because honestly, like, you could argue that I put the entire world in Qua's hands, and she gets to decide what's canon.
See, that is so scary.
Yeah,
she's right. Kind of led from the what's the little glowy lights and
the wispy thing. Yeah, in her backstory.
Yeah. When was the first time we met Elthara, though?
You guys or any in single particular individual?
In the story. That was not.
I heard some speculation that she was the dreamwalker that we freed from the Spiral Tower.
She is the dreamwalker that you freed from the Spiral Tower.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Really?
So here's one.
Freeing her would have fixed a lot of things.
I knew that because I had talked to Rob outside of recording.
I never confirmed or denied that, but
I knew that because Rob has a hard time letting secrets go.
There's a lot of weird secrets that
so
we don't
I just
know
assume
about.
Things well, and then later they come true.
And it's also confused because Elthara is not the only feminine deity figure in this podcast.
Because there's the lady also. Because
there's the lady Alunara.
Can I have some other spoilers?
That's right.
Who hired Nim to burn down the Whispering Peaks library?
Well, Nim's here, or the character who played Nim. Does she know? Of course she knows, because she is the sounding board that Rob uses to make sure that the story makes sense.
She's the reason this podcast is so great.
And I've said it before. It's like, I've got this idea, and I'm doing this, and I present it to Jill, and she'll poke all the holes in it. I'll be like, okay, now I know what I need to do to make this idea seaworthy.
Which tells you maybe what kind of wife I am.
Honey, look at this great idea I have. Problem, 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 problem. Okay.
It's very useful.
Especially when you're trying to tell a story.
Well, and if what you want is quality, you have to have
sound QA.
You have to have QA.
And she's literally the QA after I edit also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She for 4 years, Jill's been doing QA after every... We're like, Dave does the editing, and Jill... Does listens. The QA-ing, QA-ing, QA-ing.
She cues the A's down.
She's our quality assurance manager.
Yeah, she's the quality assertiveness manager, what Derek said.
Yeah,
I said assurance, but okay.
But so the answer to that question, I always wondered if anybody would figure it out, but the idea is basically that the World Tree Seed has been there for thousands and thousands of years, and mortals did not know about it. Some immortal beings did, and there were other non-mortals who were looking for it, who knew about it, and were scouring Elthara for it. And so the reason that the monastery had to burn was because, not even because of the libraryness of it, like the books and stuff, but literally to just throw Neko Borlas off the trail of that there would be anything worth looking at there.
Yeah, because he's looking for libraries, and then libraries are destroyed, so it's like, oh.
Yeah. If Bahamut had not been trapped by Neko a couple thousand years before, Nysan, you know, Bahamut might have been able to come up with something else. Nysan ordered the monastery to be destroyed to throw Neko's agents off.
So it means that Nim was not bad.
Just everybody
that's
else was.
Still
but she did hire... I mean, you have to work with people who will keep your secrets. So she...
Totally found bad people.
Yeah, she totally found bad people.
In order to work outside the law, you have to find the people that work outside the law.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, they can be useful. It's like when you have a bandit problem, do you kill all the bandits? Well, they have families. What you do instead is you give them jobs. You make them your board. You make them your road patrol.
There you go.
That's right.
And it's one way to do it anyway. But yeah, so the idea that was the idea. Like once upon a time, at the beginning, first half ish of the podcast, I had this like fantasy that like, oh, at some point when we have an easier time putting the kids to bed and we're like, or whatever, Jill could come and join the podcast and be a player.
Yeah.
Like that was part of the, like, you know what, right now is not good. We've got this baby. We've, you know, or baby was coming, and then we had the baby, and it's then the baby's three now. And yeah, and it just is. It was just, you know, it yeah. just wait, for were, for a number of reasons, you know, that it never worked out that way. It would have been cool, and mm-hmm. and I was always like, Nim's going to join the party someday. That's going to be awesome. And it never happened, and so I and so that's a question that I'm happy to answer, because it would have been answered, you know, in the way that I, you know, started things when I burnt that sucker down. It was like, or rather, when, you know, I say I did it, like, I, because I'm the DM, but
I mean, everything was done by you.
Yeah, when I wrote for that to happen, the idea was that you guys would eventually find out.
I mean, speaking of
babies,
you guys
were standing right by that seed early in the story. You could have been crazy.
Yeah, we were right there, but wasn't there a total of five babies born during this podcast?
Yeah, we have a lot of babies now.
Yeah, we had two.
Three.
Two. I had just had my third.
No, we had
my
two.
Wife had
was
our
he
third.
Born before?
Our first was born the year before we started.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there were four born then. All right. Yeah.
We've had four born. Two from us, one from Dave, and one from Rob and Jill.
Yeah.
And when she says Dave, she means Marla.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Marla. Marla was the only person not here tonight that's kind of been in the recording a bit.
Yeah, yes. She's she was.
She's been in some of our special episodes.
Almost
with the
every yeah. single special mm-hmm. one.
She's yeah. the eighth. Yeah. She's the eighth player.
Yeah. Yep. She gave Dave time to edit.
Yes. Yep. Which was huge.
Yes.
Can I ask about one other female character?
No.
I suppose.
Okay, so
no, you gotta ask.
There will never be other chances.
Elthara traps giant monster dude, and then the Alunara is the moon.
Alunara
is the moon. Then yeah. she gets destroyed and breaks into a Lady of Darkness.
Several pieces.
Okay, is that who the Lich Lady is?
No.
Oh, okay.
The Lich Lady.
That we just fought, like Malnarax's girlfriend or whatever.
That was Satina.
Oh, okay.
That crazy lady.
Again.
It couldn't be somebody that was just like not.
Satina was doing boring stuff.
It couldn't be somebody who was nobody.
While her boyfriend was trapped in a big turtle.
So wait a minute. You said that Malnarax trapped Bahamut.
Bahamut?
But the elves are the ones that had him in the Sunstone.
He probably tricked some.
So
else
did
that.
He trick the elves to put him in there?
So,
I
misspoke. I did say Neko did that. That was
I thought you said Malnarax.
You said Malnarax.
No, I said Neko.
Did you say Necro?
He said Neko.
Malnarax is responsible for the elves having done that. He deceived the elves into doing that.
First, the elves are still guilty.
First, he deceives the elves into Loki murdering the Lady of the Moon.
Bice. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Those elves people, they're not to be trusted.
No. I mean, the arrogant are easy to manipulate, man.
Don't lump them all together like that.
There's a vast majority, though.
I mean, there might be one or two that are worth keeping besides you.
And your sister. Some days.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, Brett.
But I'm betting, for the most part, most of them, they're in agreement that they're better than everything else on Elthara.
Yeah.
Well, they live forever.
Yeah, almost.
Comparatively.
And they're more beautiful and smarter and faster, stronger, better magic.
Except for the All dragons. Right,
I've got a question.
Okay, go.
I was always super excited to find out who Gray's lady thingy was.
Oh, yes.
Because
the Lady of the Moonless Night.
Yes, because she would only come. Hey, this is my question. It's not your fault that you didn't think of it. You're the one that died.
I know, and I'm still upset about that.
You have to wait for her to formulate the question.
Exactly.
Don't worry, Gray's still alive.
We've been married for 11 years. I know her question.
And yet you still need to wait and let me ask it.
You're right. I absolutely do. But still.
Marriage tip 101, let your spouse finish.
Your sandwich.
So who was his patron? Because I feel like she was somebody important, but then Derek had to go and let Gray die. So we lost like epic stories, I feel.
Oh, so much.
You shush. I'm just commenting.
My favorite Q&A question answer response ever. It's what's your character's biggest weakness? And Derek's like, his player.
He got cursed with me, so yeah. I tried to create someone cool and forgot who I was.
Totally did.
It's easier to play a character dumber than you.
Yeah. Okay, so the answer to the question is Gray's patron is an archfey who is the Lady of the Moonless Night.
What does that mean?
Is she one of the broken pieces of the moon?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Okay.
So she was part of the lady?
Was
part of
so,
the lady.
So, yeah, in my...
I knew that. I talked to you about that, like,
I have
2 years ago.
I kept a note. I kept a note. Stephen was all like, here's what I think's going on. And I was like, hang on. Some of this is good. you're giving me ideas. I have everything you said written actually in that note of what some of it's accurate, some of it's accurate, some of it's, you know, off course. But that was useful to me because it was like that let me know, you know, what one of my invested players thinks. Like, am I dropping accurate clues?
Mm.
Or do I need to go and drop more information so that people aren't confused or disappointed when information comes out.
So did Steven speculate correctly, or did he just feed the ideas?
I mean, the ideas were...
Yes.
exactly.
One of the things that revealed to me was that I had let the Dark Star seem like it was much more connected to, I don't know...
Everything?
The solution to the campaign... if that makes sense.
Yes.
It was the solution to Gray's arc.
Yeah.
Like to what would have been Gray's.
But it felt bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yes,
like Vasili's arc was find out where he's from and kind of restore Iru somehow in some capacity. Naivara's arc was do something about the slavery in Celebtal. Runt's arc was kill the biggest thing and become famous and die fighting big. The biggest thing he can find. Gray's arc was, you know.
My arc was level 20. Be a cat.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right. Reach level 20.
Be a cat.
Be a cat.
He said you got to be a world.
Well, and I got to be a cat, too.
Well, she's not just a world. She can be a cat.
Like, she can be
She's
anything.
A goddess now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cosmic power.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gray's arc was start helping his patron, get more powerful, scare people, somehow just like kind of get shady vibes from his patron and be like, I'm done, I want out, and have her be like, oh no.
Yeah. I remember
the contract
about
says
that.
Right. Gosh, I was so excited was to do cool. that, man. It was going to be so awesome.
You ruined everything.
I really did.
It was going to be awesome. Except the podcast might still be going. Who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever.
So what would have happened different. Had Gray found all the Dark Star shards for his patron?
Oh man, I don't know. So
because she's the one that sent him on that quest.
She probably would have been reconstituted. Like if he had put the Dark Star together, you probably could have restored the Lady of the Moon.
Oh.
But the part that you were dealing with was an incomplete part, and so it's like, you can't trust that.
Yeah.
Like, she's not the same as...
She's very tricksy.
And I also kind of... I'm actually kind of pleased, personally, with the idea of, like, having the Lady of the Moon seem like a really good deity, you know, figure the whole podcast, until Naivara, you know, discovers, like, wait, she died, and then, like, other stuff reveals, like... Turns out the moon has a dark side that everybody forgets about.
Yeah.
And that matters. Occurred. Like, and so like to have her be like, yeah, she was good, but she was also like
not
kind of on the chaotic, you just know, evil
only
end
when
of neutral
the Lord
sometimes.
Was looking.
Basically like once a month she would be crazy. and so like the lady of the Moonless Night, specifically the feminine figure with whom Gray interacted on new moons
yep.
Is the part of the lady that is her like actual consciousness, her executive function brain. There's another part that's her. There was another part somewhere that was like her power, and another part somewhere that is her infinite foreknowledge or her connection, her ability, her foresight, her, you know, and you may be able to guess.
Oh, that'd be the Oracle.
That'd be the Oracle.
Yeah. See, that's where I was wrong in my speculations 2.5 years ago.
What had you guessed?
Because I thought all of those pieces, because I guessed the Oracle, but then I thought also that the Dreamwalker was part of those broken, shattered pieces. And she wasn't.
And that's why you like... Jill's, this is where Jill's really helpful, and then at the same time it's like, well, I've already let these cats out of this bag, and I have to deal with the fact that I have half a dozen, you know, feminine deity things running around, and they all seem incomplete or you know,
basically cats
in some way not to, and so like you're gonna have that in a world that has more than one deity.
But I love where it's like you break a powerful being and it sort of becomes a bunch of little ones.
Yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was that's what I wanted. That's a lot of what I wanted.
The way that kind of Elthara is moving on and such, that felt to me, and by the way, just to confirm, one of the dudes in the golden chariots running around was Harakhti.
Yeah.
Who is now a god.
Yep.
Yep.
I feel like he's kind of moving into Ra's place, and Ra's sort of moving on or changing too.
That's what I felt at the last episode when we went we talked about that. It was just briefly like, oh yeah, by the way, the eye's on the wrong side, and we're moving on.
Yeah,
I had talked with Steven about, you know, okay, are you okay to voice Vasili or Harakhti if he comes, you know, comes back? And it was like, I don't have time for more than a cameo, man. We're so never mind.
Everything moved fast. It's like you get up to level 20. It's like you couldn't much, you know, do much beyond that. So it's like the way that everyone's, you know, it involves like, you know, planetary scale and universal scale. It's like that's where it should end when you get to around level 20.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I heal him in the beginning?
Because he was from a different world.
So, yeah.
And you got your power from the lady, not from... I knew that because I
it's because Ra never invited the lady over for dinner.
Basically, I mean,
it was jerk. Vice versa.
Or vice versa. Yeah. So
the idea is what happened. Why he couldn't be resurrected is because he was already alive. The one of Ra's magic items is a ring with a phoenix on it, and he had that. I think when Vasili found him and, you know, was slapping him around.
Yep.
It was always attuned to Harakhti, to Vasili. That is, it's attuned to Ra, but it was targeting. Like, it was a spell. He used its power on Harakhti to, whenever he died, he could be reborn in proximity to the ring.
Yeah. I think that's even similar to how the actual Egyptian mythology goes for Harakhti and Horus and stuff.
Yeah. But he wouldn't have... he probably wouldn't have made an appearance in the podcast again, because that's stuff that I wouldn't have revealed, I guess.
But isn't it cool that Vasili forced the like promise to be upheld?
Yeah.
I love that.
And so as far as why couldn't Nivara heal him, that was...
Sorry.
There's two reasons to that. One is a writing reason, and that's the real one. And so the answer... The story reason...
Because I don't want to.
Right. The story reason is because he's from another world. He's from another, like...
He's from the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, his gods
it's just taboo.
Like, he has an entirely different pantheon of gods responsible for his creation and his cosmology. And you not being able to heal him was my means of signaling early that there is something different about him.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that there is some antipathy between the Lady of the Moon and whatever is the source of Vasili's sun soul powers.
And then that was, like, really hammered in with the...
Oracle.
The Oracle.
Yeah, with the Oracle, that was really hammered in. It's like, yep. Not your stars.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I want to go back to... Rob mentioned that the moon, also her power, was broken into someone on Elthara's... Can you guys guess who that was? Who had...
The power.
So, like, the Lady of the Moonless Night is the brain, the consciousness, the executive function.
Uh-huh.
The Oracle is the, like, omniscience of the lady. Where did the, you know, quote-unquote omnipotence of the lady fall?
It was
Joan.
Can
you guess?
Joan.
No, Joan was immortal.
No.
Sorry, Joan was a mortal.
And then became undead. But that's beside the point.
Nysan? No.
Mm-mm.
Runt.
I think I know stuff like this because I took all the notes, but I don't know anything.
I don't know. I have no idea.
You guys never met her.
Oh, okay.
That's why we don't know.
Wait, hold on. Give us 1 minute. Let's name all the people we didn't meet. Let's think through it.
You did hear of her.
I have no idea.
I can barely keep track of the people that I am supposed to know.
All I remember is Jeeva.
Bingo.
Was it the lady of the summer court?
No,
but you're getting, getting warmer.
Okay. Jill's trying to feed us stuff.
And yeah, just tell us, working. Jill. We
I'm
don't
trying to
know.
Think of the one chick that only I met, but...
Was it
Nim? No, you said nobody met.
Nobody.
Oh, okay.
But someone in the Fae.
We can sit here all day.
I know we can.
But I would rather not.
I mean, I don't have to get up in the morning. It's all of you people that do. So, yeah.
And the woman was...
The Queen of Air and Darkness.
Who?
I don't even recognize that name.
Wow.
Where her did title, we hear about I guess. Her?
Yeah, in the Fairy Hunter story.
Oh, oh. Yes. I do actually now recall.
That would have also come in if Gray had...
not died?
Not died.
Wow, Gray.
Way to go, Gray.
I ruined so many things.
Man, that's what this episode is going to be about. How would this podcast have been different
if Gray had,
if
not,
Gray
died.
Had not died?
I do remember how Rob right was now. So upset oh, for yeah, like a no, week was... because he's like, it was going to be so cool. Like,
and they say upset. I wasn't like angry. It's
like, no,
like disappointed upset.
Yeah, super
I was like,
bummed out.
Man, I got to change everything.
I have to rewrite... The 2 years show. of story now.
Yeah. I got to do more stuff than Eldritch Blast, though.
Yeah.
Finally.
he blew yourself up.
He got yeah. high enough level where Great. He could see everything totally except for what was going to kill him.
Yep. So and how that was going to come together was like, in that poem, I had included how, like, the fairy hunter tries to kill her, and she's like, oh, that's cute. You must have thought that this would kill me.
Yeah.
And how does she say it? She says, a cold iron blade never wrought by fire alone can run me through or something. And the only way to get, or at least maybe you guys, then here's like flexibility of the DM. Maybe you could have come up with a different way to get a cold iron blade that had never been
touched by fire,
worked with fire.
Cold forging is a thing.
Yeah.
Wait, did she like curse and take over the Fae Hunter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not take yes over, and but no. She cursed him.
Yes
like,
and
like
no.
Like charmed him?
She charmed him, but he was also weak to the kind of charming that she did. Like, the idea is like, if he's a Fae Hunter, that's who he was. It was his identity. And she said, well, what if you keep hunting fairies? You know, it's like the monster hunter idea. Like, if you hunt all the monsters, you're out of a job,
yeah.
and you're no longer special, and you have to like, you're not like,
you gotta find something else to do.
And so, like, there's that temptation. You know, this is my personal opinion about a lot of today's social problems. Is we've got all these organizations that are looking for, you know, for justice, and which I'm on board with, but. There's going to be a strong element of corruption in there in many of them that are going to say, well, it's like, when do you decide you're done?
Yeah.
Like, when do you decide that you've succeeded? Or do you just always look for the next
evil thing, like, you have to fight?
At what point do you dismantle your organization because you've achieved justice? It's like, well, maybe we should look for more.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, you change your parameters a little bit and suddenly you've become the monster.
Yeah.
Anyways, which is what happened to the Fae Hunter.
That's the idea, is like she charmed him, but he also went along with it.
Who can resist that charm, though?
Gray would have.
But a stiff breeze. Well,
Gray fell to some pretty easy things.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
I mean, when he fell, we were still relatively squishy.
And
so
my idea of like one of the ways you might find a cold iron blade that would never been touched by fire would be to cut the Korid's hair off
with a rough cold fragment of iron.
Yeah, and that would have created new iron that had never, you know, like, the only, this was not created by fire, it was not forged or wrought by fire, it was just magicked into cold iron. That was why he was unpopular and hiding.
Yeah.
And the hiding from the different factions of the Feywild.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was in only one of our episodes.
Yep.
He provided some quality weapons, though. Those served runt
those
well.
Shadow blades. Like, you still had those. up at the end, didn't you?
They were just like D4s, though.
I know, but he kept them forever.
I didn't need to roll dice to do damage, guys. I never intended for my dice to do the damage.
This is true.
I could have dropped my weapons and punched people and still done more damage than Vasily, by the way.
Oh, them's fighting words.
Ah, no, you couldn't have, actually, but that's okay.
It's too late now. Vasily's somewhere else.
I would get 7 damage plus, you know.
Plus one.
So I'd just get 8 damage every time and hit almost every time.
That's true.
Okay. Mm. Pretty much all the player characters, it's pretty obvious what happens with them. You know,
whatever Qua wants to do with
her. Exactly. Yeah. Except
whatever pops into her brain the moment.
Except for Horace and Runt. And Runt are just at the right place at the right time. They're not like they're not led along by deities or forces, you know, providing power.
Horace is just a dragon
just
hunter.
The bomb.
Oh yeah.
Literally bomb multiple times.
Tell me, dear. So much. Yeah. How does Horace die? Or what happens
I'm
to
trying
him?
To think
choking
of where
on
Horace
a dragon bone.
No, choking a dragon from the inside.
So blowing the dragon up.
So it's like
from the inside.
Tomato potato.
So he keeps doing what he does best, hunting dragons.
Hunting dragons. Yeah, that's what he grew up doing in the North Mountains. That's what he's been doing.
We'll say non-metallic dragons.
I don't know.
He doesn't kill Bahamut.
Well, right? Okay, yeah. No quality dragons like he's met, and Dorathos is still waiting to see
how that
turns out.
And if Dorathos fails or whatever, then he probably goes and kills her.
She's first on the list if she goes AWOL.
Exactly, yeah.
But she's starting to change colors and all that.
Is that the one that you made friends with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is another ball I ultimately dropped. It's like, I could have done so much cool stuff with that, but it was like,
Bahamut and
I gotta
and
go in a direction.
And Nysan were originally evil also, though.
Well,
I mean, originally evil, yes.
Eons ago.
But they made the choice to not be evil.
So does Horace go back home after and, like, build up?
Like, rebuild the dwarves?
Yeah.
As a half-elf?
Yes.
No, you would have been a dwarf.
Still
trust
a dwarf,
me.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere in my brain, it would have been like,
she could have turned you back.
He's supposed to be a dwarf.
You're just walking,
so now all of a sudden your armor's too big.
And you're just too small up and being like,
why does nothing fit again?
It's a little tight across the chest.
It would be, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, if Qua would have turned him back into a dwarf, then he would have...
So would have happened.
Oh, yeah. You're saying he wouldn't have if he stayed a half-elf?
Well, if he had stayed a half-elf, he would have just kept hunting dragons. But
well, he's going to do that either way. I don't think he can stop himself from hunting
dragons. No, absolutely not. But as a half-elf, in half-elf form...
Would the dwarves really accept him?
Well, and he's...
They know who you are.
Well, it's not
and they
really.
Would have heard your tales.
They know what he is as,
I was
like,
reincarnated.
Human. Enough people on this planet celebrate you as one of the greatest heroes of all time.
But still, like, the only dwarfish thing about me is the hammer. I still, like, at
you
the end of the show,
anymore.
I still don't have a quality beard.
Yeah.
I have a 5-week shadow at most.
And that's after... months and months of trying to grow it. Because it's half elf and they just don't grow that.
Exactly. It's embarrassing.
So he feels kind of betrayed by his, half elf body.
Yeah. So if Horace turns back into a dwarf, he's going to go back up to the mountains to his
home.
And you
know it's Qua.
Yeah. I would assume so.
I mean, Qua's also capable of manifesting to people if she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Just this cat roaming the woods.
She's less communicable than before.
Yeah. Horace would go back and try and rebuild the dwarf homeland. Try and roam the world and find dwarves to repopulate it, because all the ones that were there are dead. Either
a lot of them,
dead there or dead in the bottom of that chasm.
You're werecats.
You're werecats.
Werecats.
Nothing says let's rebuild the dwarves like a bunch of werecats and a half elf.
Yeah, exactly.
Good times.
Oh,
so yeah,
goodness.
That's what Horace would be doing, I guess, but...
What about Runt?
Yeah.
Runt is never as strong again as... So that was the end of his, adventure, pretty much.
His glory days.
You're going to go be king of Runtin now?
I want to say that I think... So the giants were kind of like the Lord first helpers, right?
Yeah.
I think that part of that lingering power helped allow Runt to become that strong, and then when he was done with that thing that was needed, not that the Lord is still there and pulling strings or whatever, but then he's just another Goliath.
Mm.
That's what I think.
Oh, I picture you fat on a throne, Renton or something. Just
yeah. Like, Vasily had a secret goal of making Runt the king of Highland.
Yeah, Highland, yeah.
But I think the Goliath thing. So Goliaths are kind of like they see something cool and they want to become the best at that, or they want to outdo each other. So they're kind of like stuck in that weird, you know.
That weird mindset.
Impulse to.
Well, no, this part of the world where they never leave because they're too involved in like doing that with each other.
To one up each other.
Yeah. And then Runt gets kidnapped. We never did a backstory.
No, we Runt planned it so many times.
Yeah, it's something like Runt gets kidnapped by a giant. Then after a while, he gets traded for like.
Well, and like not necessarily kidnapped, but like Runt passes out, you know, wandering. Yeah, trying Runt's to find
abandoned
his tribe.
By his family yeah, because he is.
And, Runt.
And a giant finds him.
Yeah, like Runt and his friend named Persistence go out to forage. He gets, and there's like a rock slide. This is all just what we were thinking we might do for a backstory. And Runt is the only one that survives. He comes back home. Everyone's like, oh, you survived. But like surviving something crazy to Goliath is like, oh, Grotmonk protected you. You're special. Hmm. But then like 2 weeks later, that other guy comes back. So then they think, oh, Grotmonk protected that guy. Now Runt doesn't exist anymore because he's supposed to be the one that was lost or something. And so then he's like, you know, they pick up camp and leave without him. And then he's like alone and starving. Giant takes him, trades him for food or something to like slavers on a ship, gets traded to fight in Serain in the Colosseum. That's why he's a gladiator. Nice. Kills Vasily's like adoptive mom.
Caretaker, yep.
Ends up not wanting to kill again, so then they sell him, you know, they trade him off for just manual labor to the high elves, and then Nyvara frees him. That was an easy backstory.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
So he's not special or like, you know, dragged along and given extra powers. But I think just because he's no longer trapped in Hosbor where he's competing and, you know, doing like a macho man routine with all the other Goliaths.
Then he was able to do epic things.
But he's still just doing the thing he's good at, which is like fighting or, you know, that stuff. Until that's not needed anymore. And then he's like lost. Then he just, you know, hangs out at taverns.
So he becomes a drunk.
Getting fat in taverns telling stories. Because everyone knows him.
Big wisdom.
He's possibly like the most famous like person in
fighter,
the world.
Bard,
he becomes
samurai.
A non-magical bard. There you go. Actual.
And that is his background. Yeah. His entertainer.
Yeah. 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 Now exactly. Is when he multi-classes as a bard.
And at some point, I pulled the necklace thing off of Sithraxis. Yeah. That's a phylactery.
Yeah.
At some point, just for fun, he goes and has this huge event in Serain after Serain's cleaned up a bit.
So, yeah, you all have made assumptions about what has happened in Serain.
And we don't know.
We don't know. Saying, we just know there was
I'm
attacking
just saying,
going
somewhere
on.
Somewhere with like a Colosseum, he has Sithraxis brought back so that tens of thousands of people can watch him try to kill Sithraxis.
Just start the whole thing.
Just one-on-one with Sithraxis.
I think that sounds really cool.
And then maybe he even fakes his death there and then gets his like new body and then like disappears because he's like, he just isn't
as good
as he ever was.
He's got an
in
with a new goddess. He can get a new body anytime.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I have the clone thing, the clone chamber making a new body anyway. So after a couple months, as soon as I die, I just get a new.
The same.
Well,
the,
I'm sorry.
Satina.
What?
Satina's clone making thing.
Satina's right. Chambers.
Yeah. And by the way, that's up by Graydale. It used to be Woldale or something.
Right. Yeah.
We rename it Graydale. That's the farm with like Tice. Mm-hmm. Farming these special herbs for reincarnation that we thought we'd need a ton of eventually. Then it ends up just being real farms, and Runt does the Thanos thing, like retire and farming.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about, one of the things about Elthara that is not even barely mentioned, it's very indirectly mentioned, is that the way that the Lord, you know, in the beginning... In that special episode I did recently near the end here, the Lord gets broken into pieces by Kil-Matherin's, you know, rebellion with the Shard of Chaos. The Lord is broken into pieces, and one of those pieces is Aramil, and the other piece and Aramil is the piece that has his consciousness, his executive function. The other pieces of him are what enable, you know, in my mind of how, you know, how could a conceivable world have multiple deities. like the way that that D&D has pantheons of gods.
Mm-hmm.
What's a way to make that coherent? And I was like, okay, if one god breaks into smaller gods, you know, one of them's going to get the lion's share and the rest are going to be pieces. And so like my idea, part of the cosmology of Elthara, is that those pieces mortals can find and assume them. And so there's the god of thunder is a piece of Elthara being driven or, you know, embodied or taken by a mortal, and the god of, you know, nature and the god, you know, whatever the cleric domains are, is that those are kind of all parts of the Lord. And so like those are adventures that that adventurers could go on conceivably to find those pieces. Now they had been found, is in my, you know, in my head, this is kind of the canon. Many of them had been found, or all of them, but Neko walked in and he's way too much for them to handle because they squabble and they don't work together ultimately.
Yeah.
And so he just eats them. And like he said, like they provided little sustenance.
Power, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And so now there's vacancies again.
Yeah, that's what I like that concept, and I think we kind of understood that it's like broken down. The light is in everyone like that. Mm. If I was the one to hit the like killing blow on Neko Borolas, I was gonna be like, I am Aramel.
So there were some. Where was your inspiration for NPCs?
Captain Carver's based on him.
Captain Carver's totally named after James. After Davis.
Yep.
Also known as Half Orc, Will Travel.
Yes. But are there? So did you have any other inspiration on any of the other NPCs?
Satina is based on an actual person. Satine Phoenix, and then. Will Travis Willingham.
And Jeeva. Yeah, Travis Willingham.
And Jeeva is based on Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
You lived under a rock. It's okay.
Master Norris is...
Chuck Norris.
What? I didn't
know.
I had no idea.
Let's see.
Hence my crying comment last episode.
A bunch of the NPCs are actually characters from an older D&D game I had DM'd from, you know, that some of my friends were the players. So like...
Wait, we're not your friends?
I was going to say, I feel like that's...
Before you were my friends, I had other friends.
No, okay.
Aria.
Okay. Aria is not named after Aria from Aragorn. Aria is named after Aria from an older game that I had DM'd. She was an elf wizardess who was... That character. She had attitude. Shibboleth, who was actually, you know, you guys never met him, but he's a character in the Joan the Huntress story. Shibboleth was a paladin in that party. I never found a way to bring Blink in. He was the elf ranger. Who else?
Wayne Askell was named after my grandpa.
Yep.
That was your idea.
That was my idea, yeah.
So no, you didn't have any inspiration from other places for your NPCs. The short answer is yes.
Yes,
it is fun to hear the reasons.
A bunch of the archmages in Renton are either anagrams or mild misspellings of staff at the Wizards of the Coast.
Can I tell you how weird it is to be fighting Neko Borolas? I'm like flying up on a disc. And then suddenly I'm at the mage's ball with those guys.
That did happen.
That was very confusing.
You guys, when you guys got back from, where is it called? The
Moon Vale.
You stopped in Merchant's Landing. And it was like, Dragomir wants to talk to you guys. And you were like, nope. This is stupid. We're leaving.
He clearly wants to kill us.
And I was like, fine. Like, it was like DM's telling you what to do next, and you guys are like, we're the DMs now, thank you.
We very quickly developed trust issues.
Very quickly.
I had to really hurt you to get you to go anywhere I wanted.
Yes, because we did not trust the, here's a breadcrumb. Yeah, that goes right into the oven. We know, I can see the oven from here. You can't lie to me. I'm not going to take that breadcrumb.
Unless you're Derek and there's a coin sitting in a skull.
I think that's what jaded me.
our singular trial episode. From there, you are scarred.
I'm scarred for life.
You have to understand, I love him so much. That's who Derek is.
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Oh, no, yeah. I have a memory that came up recently said, he said, I'm such a good husband. I saw your shirt says lay flat to dry, so I hung it up. And I sat
quality
there and I'm...
Quality husband right here, people. Quality husband. I am unavailable. I'm sorry.
So he's just so eager to do the thing he wants to do that he sometimes doesn't think through the, like, a gold coin sitting in a statue that there's nothing else around. That seems like it might be a trap. No, he goes, oh, a gold coin.
We're level 3. I needed money.
Rob was able to use that aspect of Derek to as a catalyst to get us to
absolutely.
Do things.
Absolutely.
So
Rob thanked me for it on occasion.
Yes, he did.
At least someone, you know, cooperated.
Someone would drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Right. Because it definitely wasn't Qua. Nope. Like, if you had a plan, Qua destroyed it.
Well, sometimes Qua had really good ideas, and I welcome those things, you know.
So everything that Qua did, as weird and destructive as
like
it was, had reasons.
She sits without speaking for like every other episode. She'll say a sentence, and then like she'll be like, suddenly I'd like to play.
And I'll be like, fire.
I'll be like, right, you're burning everything down, and you're like, but I have a really good reason. And it's like, and I'm like, dude, I've just been not calculating. You participated in that kind of a way. Like, I don't mean that you don't participate, but like, you're going to do that? Well, now I need to rethink everything.
But I do also remember that we've done that multiple times to you. It's like, we're chugging along, doing our thing. I'll say, oh, stop. Something is broke here. I need to go talk to Jill. We have to stop.
Now, and if we were just like, if we were not doing a podcast, that's not a big deal. No, but the fact that I was like, well, now we have a production schedule and like,
we need to go seek help from the DM.
So, sometimes Rob would be like, oh, hold on. I need a 5-minute break. I need to go to the bathroom. And we'd hear him
20 minutes
upstairs.
Later.
Jill, please!
They didn't do what I told them to do.
No, I'd just be like, I gotta go consult the Oracle. Thanks, guys. The Oracle.
We'd come upstairs after 20 minutes to fill up our waters. They'd stop talking, stare at us as we leave. I'll just go back downstairs now.
Yep.
We record at Rob's house if you haven't figured that out.
This is a funny question.
Yep.
If the characters were transported to a place like Cheesecake Factory or something like that, what would be the meal that they ate besides honey and sand?
Cheddar stuffed hamburger.
Cheesecake.
I just want to sit at the end of the conveyor belt eating all the cheesecake.
That's fair.
I personally don't like the Cheesecake Factory, but...
That's like the one time I've ever been.
Where would Vasily...
That's one of the several times I've been. I love it there.
I don't know what Vasily... What would Vasily get?
I'm a burger or, and fries.
I think Vasily's kind of like...
They have just about everything.
I know. Yeah,
Vasily's kind of like, you know, I need protein, but I'm going to eat clean.
Yeah.
And
so like a chicken salad.
Stay lean.
Probably
and
like the Oriental chicken salad or
like
something.
A roasted chicken salad sort of thing.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That probably would be Vasily.
No, he'd order a hot dog. I'll have one with everything.
Yeah, I don't remember the whole point of the joke. Yeah. But
one with everything.
One with everything.
One with everything.
That was a super funny joke, guys.
Yeah.
That laugh
is
fake.
What was that?
It's real.
So
it's the most real, authentic.
Trying to think of where the other character would go. What he would have.
Turn around and go back outside and go hunt something down.
Yeah.
Good luck finding berries downtown.
What's a Cheesecake Factory? What the crap is this? She's stuff?
Like, isn't gamey enough. I don't know.
She's like, where's the squirrel?
Horace would take quaw hunting. Get some good elk.
That's it.
Hey, Rob.
Mm.
What did the elves use high magic on to make the world forget?
Oh, so much.
The fact that they trapped Bahamut. That was one of them.
There were two things.
The Sunstone.
Yeah.
There were two things. One of them primarily was to kind of make everybody forget the lady. To hide their shame.
Because they destroyed her.
Because what they did, her existence interfered with some of the things they thought would be really cool. and they were tricked into thinking that she would be okay.
Mm.
Malnarax did that. And then they went and did it, and they were like, well, we're knee-deep now. We're not going to stop.
See, just one more reason to hate the elves.
Hey.
Present company excluded.
Only the elves without wings.
Yes. You're like, you're hey, now only, another thing.
I only get wings for an hour.
Yeah, but.
Oh, excuse me. You can only be awesome for an hour a day.
That's so wrong. She can only be the kind of thing that Vasily wouldn't want executed for an hour a day. God, that's what we're talking about, Derek.
And what was the second thing?
Probably where the World Tree Seed was, I think.
Mm. And then just to protect Colonel Sanders' recipe.
Yep.
So that everybody would forget that Peter Parker and Spider-Man are the same thing.
Person. That's important.
What else? So one of the things we mentioned was like, Quas got this power. She makes the trees in the Great Wood like super big redwood
huge.
Style.
Yeah.
Like fantasy world huge.
We now have Ents.
Yes.
What else? What?
One of the other things Runt does is like, he's already been doing this, is like taking some of his money and having people build like dungeons, like for adventurers to go and practice skills. Not telling people, but like, you know, not saying, hey, come here and do this. It's just the next generation of adventurers need dungeons and stuff because... He kind of
just building and stalking dungeons constantly.
Yeah, and so a lot
nothing
of the money
can
goes
go
there.
Wrong there.
Yeah,
and but he hands over all of the control of the Outcasts organization to Harmeen, and then Runt's like an employee until Runt like disappears and just doesn't care about that stuff anymore. I guess retires.
Yeah,
and then him and then he settles down, finds a nice Goliath, and his, my daughter wants. Him to have a daughter that's a bard. And I think it's because she wants to be a bard that's actually Runt's daughter. So.
That's cute.
I mean, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I imagine Nyvara is, she's focusing on just helping the world, but she's mainly always at Celebtal helping the elves kind of... not rebuild their society,
I
but kind of rebuild.
They do have
yeah,
to totally
like they
rebuild.
Have to rebuild. Like Rob said, they made a lot of mistakes, and
everyone has
I
to
think
join the Boy Scouts, learn how to start a fire, and all the stuff that they have no idea.
I feel like they're owning up to their mistakes, and so Nyvara is there to help make sure that they don't repeat the same mistakes as they're rebuilding.
Nice.
So
yeah,
that's a good plan.
Yep.
And Vasily, we know he's rebuilding Eru. And then Take is rebuilding the East.
It's all true. About rebuilding everything.
There's still thousands.
Oh wait, Qua already rebuilt everything, so he's just going back home to
rule. Qua's not going to build your building for you.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known anything about your East place.
So
Qua doesn't like Take.
I mean, one of the things that's going to have to be dealt with in the coming generations is the necromancer lords that all emerged from the East with their hordes of zombies.
Nice. So you guys can start.
Right.
So there's work to do.
Take's taking
the second
care of
campaign
that.
Can start low level with dealing with Runt's crappily made dungeons, and then it builds up to the zombies.
And you know, Serene is actually still there to be contended with.
Yeah, it's a big problem because a lot of the mages there are ultra powerful, and it doesn't just get cleaned up overnight. Yeah.
So then, what is everybody doing now? That
you don't want to know
people?
What I'm doing?
There's not a second campaign, by the way.
No, you don't know what I'm doing.
Qual, what are you doing?
I'm doing whatever I want.
she's probably doing exactly nothing.
At this point, I don't think Qual knows what she's doing. She's breathing.
That's why we didn't ask you. We know you're going to do whatever you want to do.
She's still taking a couple steps, making a new tree. Taking a couple steps, making a new tree.
I have no idea what Qual's doing.
I heard the last episode. I heard what you did.
I know, but I don't think she knows what she's doing.
But you now have Elthara guiding you through what you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
I would also like to point out that we have, like, what, a 17-year-old in charge of the entire world?
She's probably turned 18 at some point.
Quality choices have been made.
Yes.
I think nobody else was ready for it.
Hey, the wisest person ever,
though. Absolutely.
There's only two people wiser than I am, so this is not a bad plan, people.
It's because Gray's dead.
Gray would never have beat my wisdom.
Yeah.
Take was close.
Nah.
But.
Well, just because the rest of us can't naturally perceive everything.
Oh, by the way, if Bahamut didn't fight Neko Borlas, we would have got our butts kicked.
Probably.
He was like almost dead lying there on the surface. I didn't think about that till later. He fought him first and
kept him busy. Bought you some time.
Yeah. Dang. Thanks, Bahamut, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So now that you have no longer a podcast, what are we all doing?
Sleep.
What do you mean doing?
Like in real life.
Yeah. Oh,
what's your next
what
steps
are you gonna
in
real
life?
Do?
To just find something else to edit?
You'll actually have to work now.
You have to find a job. I'm going to build Elthara in Minecraft.
Jeez. Whoa. That would be that insane. Would
look at Rob's eyes. That would be really cool.
There's just not enough time for all the things you can do in those things.
Yep.
Go on dates and have board game nights and not go to bed at midnight.
No, we'll still go to bed at midnight.
Well, then you're not going to have board
we'll
game
nights. We'll still have crap for dinner. We'll just have more.
Say again.
But we would eat Kraft dinner. Yeah, we
just eat more.
With really expensive ketchups.
Dijon ketchups. Good song.
Rob, what are you going to do with all your free time of not having to think through this whole story?
It's going to take some rehabilitation. Because I've been taking classes, but I'm not very efficient. But now that I feel like I have more bandwidth, I feel safer diving fully in, like committing myself to more things.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm with Jonessa. Back to getting board game nights. Like we started this, so we had a reason to play D&D. That literally is what we started this podcast for. So we was like, hey, let's do it in a podcast format so that we can't
get away from each other.
Yeah, so it forces us to meet because we're releasing this show for people to listen to. Because
we've all played the D&D games where you do like
three or four
times,
sessions and then you're done.
It disappears.
Yeah. Yeah. And we didn't do that this time. We actually, but it turned into something else. And so I'm looking forward to going back to playing board games.
The next time we get together, we're just going to be playing and our kids will be here.
That's a good possibility. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have a barbecue without having to rush to record afterwards.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I'm excited about. But I'll be sad to, because I will miss getting together and playing.
Playing is awesome.
So they definitely have to keep, at least occasionally board night, board games.
Yeah.
But
we're starting an improv comedy channel.
What? Kimberly, do you know what you're going
to
do?
Or
do you have no idea?
Let's
No. Here's the thing. You must join Discord or you will not know which next things we do. We're not going to record another episode here just to say, hey, we're doing these other projects. Check this out.
Yeah.
No, go to Discord if you want to know.
Just in general, but yeah, so.
No, like Steven and Jonessa have said, I'm looking forward to board game nights, getting back to RC stuff. And no one but Jonessa here knows this, but I'm starting my own business.
And date nights.
Yes, and date nights.
Okay,
sweetheart.
Go ahead, continue. Yes.
That's why Wednesdays have been set apart.
I know.
Set aside.
I'll probably be playing D&D.
We'll play D&D. We'll just have more
friends that love D&D.
All your friends at work, right?
Yeah.
Well, say hi.
So. Maybe I'll be a player.
Oh,
yes.
We'll still be playing.
We'll set up one of those one shots that only last three episodes or three.
Three episodes. Three sessions.
It's all episodes. Everything is based around episodes.
Who's going to edit, though?
Nobody.
So, there you go.
No. I enjoy talking to you guys on the Discord, even though I never talk on the Discord because I have 1,000 children, it feels like. And.
Three very rambunctious children.
Yes, so I enjoy seeing everybody talk. And I'm just the creeper in the corner. This is like, oh, that's a good comment. Oh, that's a good comment. I'll just
you feel
I'll put
so
a
connected
like.
To everybody, and then when you have something to say, everyone goes like, "Who are you?
Who's this person in the corner?" Yep.
Speaking of the Discord, I think we said this already, but it's still going to be up.
Yeah. Yep.
Come hang out with us. We'll still.
Share your stuff there. It's not just a place for you to see what we're doing.
I have a question for you guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I know what my answer is, but I want to know, what is your, one at a time, what is your favorite moment or episode or arc or what's your favorite thing that we did in the podcast?
And we're not all allowed to say this G by you guys.
This is 4 years of data, and I can barely keep track of like what I ate yesterday.
Yep.
So I have two favorite things. The Oracle episode, most favorite episode.
Just, that's a lot of people's.
Yeah, it's really an amazing episode. Mm-hmm. And then Downward Steepiness, which wasn't even an episode, but made it.
That one doesn't qualify. I want story episodes, like event in the podcast, kind of an answer. Like we're sharing.
There was a moment in the podcast that we were leaving. Not Kingston. What were we leaving? We were leaving.
Merchant's Landing?
What's the big one?
Renton.
No, not Renton.
Kingston is
a good one. Albuquerque.
Me too. We were leaving Kingston, and you stopped us at the gate, and we're like, we got to get out of here because we got to leave. And this moment sticks in my head because it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, we just bought this house in Merchant Landing. We got all these things. We're taking stuff. We got to go rebuild it. We're fixing it up. And you made the comment of like, you lie so well. And I was just like, oh my goodness. No, that's called role playing. But that was just a really fun moment in my mind. Like I don't even know if anybody else remembers it, but it was
barely.
It was funny.
It was entertaining.
Made me laugh.
Thank you for sharing.
go ahead. My favorite moment is still always when Nivara was hiding. I think it was in Jiva's basement.
Yes.
And all the guys came fighting because I was kind of scared because I was by myself. And that's my favorite moment because one, I escaped in a pretty epic way. I was pretty proud. And in my opinion, it was the first time that you really like connected pieces of the story together, you know, like the people that I had just fought came to Runt, and you're like, oh, look, there's like a hole in the arm where Nivara happened to put a hole in somebody's arm. And I feel it was the first big obvious, like, oh, he's messing with the storyline. Because I can't remember what Dave said, but he called Rob a name or something when he made the connection or something. But
filthy DM.
Yeah. So that's the part, that's the one that I really like, because it was the first time that it showed just how malicious and sneaky you can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of mine are combat based.
Like when you shot yourself out of, as a cannon.
Like when I cannonballed myself with a Kraken, when I blew up all the eggs.
Blowing up the eggs was cool.
Yeah.
That was fun.
When I hellfired the rotten tree thing.
Oh my gosh, that's still 9,000. just burn her down.
Those were my favorite. Those are the bits that stick out to me as like, yes, I did D&D.
D&D.
I like the egg one because it's just so out of the blue. We're fighting all these dragons. You're like, I'm going to take care of all these things.
Dave's like, I've got a plan. We're going to talk to her. And Horace is like,
hang on, no.
She's not going to want to talk.
I have a thing.
I did something.
She ain't going to want to talk. Just run.
Yeah, those were...
Kimberly, what was yours?
Mine is probably that I don't even remember where we were, but we were fighting some spider things or some, I don't know, as a group, but it was like the first time where it's that end Avenger scene where everybody is just playing their part perfectly. And like we all work together, and I cannot remember. I just remember like I did this and then you did this and then you did this and then it was like, and it was just like, and we just totally rocked it. I don't even remember when it was.
That might have been a dream. That doesn't sound like this podcast.
I think it only happened the once too, but it was like,
it was clearly a fluke.
You were listening to a different podcast.
Yeah. It was the first time that I used
Very Far.
No, the one that sucks life from people.
Oh, Rutt was not there. You were fighting the dragon tar. In the dragon's dungeon.
That's why it went so well.
I was gonna say that, but
Rutt was all like, "You're fighting dragon tars without me."
I forgot those were a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a, I actually have a lot of little things that I that stuck out that I really enjoyed about. And like I'm not can't pick them all out, but my two top two were the ones I already mentioned.
I want to know Rob and Jill's favorite. Did we not? Oh, I thought we totally got David.
Oh, I don't know. I should have probably been thinking of something while you guys were talking. Huh? Yeah. I can't think of one.
You don't have anything favorite?
Oh, there's tons of awesome moments.
Okay, what's one of them?
Like when I cut the dude's hair and it turned into shadow blades. Well, it wasn't me. It was
Gray was the one that cut his hair.
But then I was like, oh, picked up this the looks like a useful weapon.
Yep.
And I can make it into a weapon. And then
mushrooms were funny.
I don't like to play a game where it's like taking turns hitting and stuff. I want to like think of what's in the room. How can we use that? That kind of stuff. So,
like when you were in the Feywild and drinking with Gray. Oh,
that
and
was so
that,
good.
That was really good.
Just goofing off, I
that
guess.
That one, the mushrooms, super funny.
Yeah.
So don't do drugs, kids.
Jill, or Rob, adults. What are your favorites?
Feywild was all really, really fun. And it was really fun, like, probably the best part of the podcast for me, like, of all of it is just Rob and I being able to like come up with all of it.
And Devious monsters.
And they'll be like, I need something really good here. And we'll just like, that's what we talk about. And it's like so fun.
That's your pillow talk.
Yeah. but probably my favorite episode is Horace and Qua when he gets the hammer. And him talking to his dad and all the,
so
like,
yeah.
all of the
that
challenges cool. and everything. Like, man, that was like one of my very favorite episodes.
That
like,
was a good episode.
I feel similarly. All of my favorite moments that leap to mind are moments that I got to do more one-on-one. Like, I really enjoyed when Vasili went to the Sunken Valley in the Monastery of Silence. And I really enjoyed the Words of the Iron Tome episode. And I really enjoyed all the Abyss things I got to do with Nyvara.
Ooh, those were fun.
Those are scary. And like,
dude, that's another favorite moment of mine.
You're going to have to listen to the edits of them because...
Oh, the Abyss one with the clothing. That was a fun one to do.
Sewing it down to the ground?
Yes. Oh, it, man, it just that trapping
was,
that.
I was like, this is terrifying.
And seeing your comment on that, I was like... Awesome, we
did
it
right.
Did you
notice I edited the music to be all like distant and like antique sounding, and then slowly it became more like modern and faster and faster?
Have you met my oldest? I don't have time to listen.
No, like it's 10 minutes. Try it one time.
Okay, I will.
That like that especially like I really like
the one.
I always wanted like from the very beginning of the podcast, I wanted the whole party to go to the Abyss. Like, I was, like, part of my idea was, like, at the Mage's Ball...
You don't want Qua holding a Chaos Shard, though.
No, I don't.
No.
The idea of the Mage's Ball, once upon a time, was gonna be, like, you're gonna meet, you know, an evil party of adventurers at the Mage's Ball, and, like, there's gonna be a race to go find this powerful weapon that was, you know, some hero took it and died in the Abyss, and it's wherever his corpse is or whatever, and there was going to be a race. Anyway, the Abyss changed into something different that I'm really happy with, that, like, I wanted, like, the Abyss is chaos, and, like, there's real power in it, like, the Chaos Shard, but you can't access it unless you can overcome the things that in our lives can keep us from growing, basically. And it's like, you need to be able to overcome apathy. You need to be able to it would have been easy. That's the first Abyss thing. Nyvara could have had an easier time getting to the end if she hadn't, if she had left that little,
left the creature. Yeah.
Ravenfolk, whatever it's called.
Or whatever.
Yeah. If she'd left the little Kanku, she could have gotten to the other side much more easily, yeah. But she would never have found the golden door. She would have been lost, you know, having succumbed to the temptation to
sacrifice an innocent for herself.
To say, well, there's no connection between you and me. Like, it's not my problem what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's that. To think that way will warp you and trap you in an abyss of chaos. And then at the second one was you're in the forest with the other huntress, and she makes it a competition.
Yeah.
And like trying to race her is going to keep you lost in that abyss.
You meet a lot of irritating people in the abyss when I think back on it.
That was the point. And the third one with the luxury things that were trapping you in that manner, like luxury can be a trap and you need to be able to shed, you know,
the excess,
the desires to hang on to those things. They hold you back. Like that's every one of those episodes. Those are things that hold you back or that think dangers. Like I've always wanted to do that episode with Janice, the gorilla with the full of snakes. Like you guys, like three of you have not listened to these.
No, I am so behind.
Yeah.
The more you get to know him, the more of these like snake features he has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I, we're humans, but humans are animals, and animals, you know, we're basically hairless gorillas that wear clothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, with...
and monocles.
And there are and there are snakes in us. You know, those are our vices, our whatever. And I hope, I always wanted there to be a fight against that monster, and it's like, we didn't really get to have a fight against it, but at least I got to show it off. So I loved doing things like that. I loved putting, like, bringing a metaphor to life in D&D. In those ways, the way I was able to do those things in a lot of your
nice
guys' stuff.
Cool.
And that was a lot of collaboration between Rob and Janessa. Actually.
Yeah, we Janessa helped me kind of write a lot of those scenes on the spot.
Does anybody have anything else they want to say before we Rob. End?
Thanks for listening.
Great work.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Thanks for playing, you guys.
Well, and also probably one of the most rewarding things that we weren't expecting is getting to know and getting lots of feedback from listeners.
Yes.
And I know that it's been mentioned before, but like the party, I don't know, all these people, they start with a prayer and they want it to be something that's uplifting for people. And so knowing that it's touched your guys' lives has been... probably what's kept us going when it's been harder to schedule things or, and that's hugely rewarding. And we're like, so glad this can be part of any of just something to take your mind off from all that's going on. And we really wish you guys the best and just know that there's, you know, we love being your friends. So
yep.
Stay in touch on the Discord.
Table. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's perfect sentiment. I think that echoes across all of us, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like there's been a couple times we get like letters from people like, you changed my life. It's like, you turned me around, you know, things like that. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah.
We were just expecting people to kind of be mildly entertained. That means our prayers were answered.
Yeah. Right. It really does.
We're glad we were able to touch your guys' lives in some way, and you have all had an impact on us. Yeah. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, very much so. So
join the Discord.
I think the last few things is like the Discord will stay up, but we say thank you to you guys for listening to us and being so loyal to us. It's been awesome. We appreciate it greatly.
So thank you for joining us on this journey. Thank you guys for playing at this table with me. I've required a lot of them as far as their time and like they've mentioned, like me having to stop and rewrite things for an hour and someone like they were all committed to it, but I always felt, you know, burdened of, you know, with the burden of like, I'm, you guys are giving your time and I'm responsible to use it, you know, productively. And it's, and I haven't always been able to do that, but you've always been patient and you're all bending over backwards to make, you know, to find time to record together. And
but you've made a really fun world. Thank you, like, you're thanking us for our time and stuff, thank you for making an entertaining world to be in.
Thank you. Definitely
it really made it where it was fun and where we had, you know, as Kimberly complained that it was too much of a sandbox, like you just threw us in this huge sandbox and all the toys in front of us, and we're...
I'm a toddler and I've never played with any of these toys.
And we're overstimulated, but at the same time, like, that's also what made it really fun. And all these secret connections you had behind things that we did or didn't do and the effects that it had. So yeah. It really made it a good, fun time to play.
Yeah, it really was.
When I set out, I wanted to play D&D, but I also like, I'm a little bit of a romantic in as far as stories. Like I want the story, like I want a party of, you know, different characters. I want them to all have a big arc that they complete together. I want them to have individual personal arcs, and I want you to get to level 20. We did almost all of those things. And
yeah.
And along the way, I got to kill some of you. And
a couple times.
Yep, a couple times on some of us.
And it's been a blast. And
yeah.
I suggest if you're going to try something similar,
get on the Discord and ask us questions first.
be careful what you get into, I guess. It's until whatever happens or comes next, like, yeah, join us on the Discord. Give us a review if you like so people know what to, what to expect. And I think we'll keep the Threadless up for a while. I don't know. Threadless, buy stuff if you want.
It costs nothing to maintain.
Yeah. And God bless you. And that was also a theme that I felt was important. In the way that some people tell stories, you can tell how they feel about God. And like personally, like in the way that D&D is designed and the stories, it's like, the gods are fickle and untrustworthy and they're at odds with each other. And you can kind of tell that, you know, the people who designed that maybe have that kind of feeling about God. Mm. And that was something that was important to me. I was like, I believe in God and I believe that he does care. And he may be hard to see or hear or feel, that's because there's lots of noise sometimes. And you need to put yourself in a place where you can have experiences with God. And if you do that, you will. And it's just, it's not easy. And I think it's that way on purpose too. I don't think he doesn't want you to just find him accidentally. And he doesn't want you to find him in a place where you find him and you're not ready. Like you may even ask, but you have to ask to find him and be willing to do whatever he's going to say, whatever he might require of you. But if you do, I promise you will find peace. And that's all part of all of that went into my philosophy for how I kind of created the world, and that God's there. He's not going to do your work for you, but he is there to help you.
Mm.
And, again, thank you. And that's all she wrote.
Farewell.
Stay Eldritch.
The end.